seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I am excited about tonight's Bible study. I really believe tonight will be enlightening to you. We are going to talk about the shield of faith. Now, some of you have had, for lack of better terminology, some denominational teaching given to you about this passage. I will unteach it to you in a real fast hurry by teaching you the truth tonight. For some of you, this is going to be okay, that has never been said before, but it's going to be very clear, very plain to you. And for others, maybe a bit of review, but I think there's enough packed in here to even get some of you that think you know more Bible than you really do. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, let's start in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice, I want you to look at me for a second. Notice the purpose of the armor is to stand against the wiles. Okay, now watch this, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's called the White House. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I'm going to stop right there. Now, tonight we are going to talk about this shield of faith. Now, I have enjoyed this study personally, maybe more than any that I've given thus far. I enjoy it. I think it'll be a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me. I've shared it with about half a dozen other preachers across the country. They said, wow, there's a sermon in there. I said, you can wait till after I teach it on Wednesday night and you can steal it, but don't steal it before then, all right? And so I want to show you some things that will help you. I'm going to kind of walk you through a little Bible study that I have personally sitting at my desk with this. Here in Ephesians 6, we have God telling us what makes up the armor of God. Now, just so you know, armor is not for the casual Christian. Armor's for a soldier. Armor's for a warrior. Armor isn't there just to put it on and say, okay, now I don't have to fight because I'm going to scare everybody away with what I'm wearing. All right? That's not what armor is for. The armor, he tells us, is so that we can withstand. He uses the word wrestle. Those are action verbs. There's a battle. There's a conflict that goes on. And he said that you're to wear it and take the attacks of the evil one, the evil day, the devil, all the evil forces. I grow weary seeing Christians fizzle out because they can't take the attacks from the devil. I'm just going to say it as boldly as I just did. I get a little weary watching Christians, the first time conflict comes to them spiritually, they just run away and you never see them again. You see, you don't have to run away and be defeated by the devil, but you will need to fight. You will need to fight. Now listen to me very carefully. I want to talk about this shield of faith. The shield of faith is not a piece of protection that you wear. The shield of faith, it has to be strapped on. The Bible says you must pick it up and you have to use it. It's not just sitting on like the breastplate of righteousness or your loins girt with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, or your helmet. Those are things you put on and you don't have to worry about them. The shield, you have to actually pick up and you have to move it and use it. It is other than the sword, the only weapon that you must use. The only part of the armor that you use. The others are just strapped to you. You don't have to think about them. Now, why would God tell us, above all, we need the shield of faith? I want you to notice verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, he just gave us a bunch of armor to wear. Why would we need a shield as well? Is the armor not good enough? I thought all I should need is to do is to put on the armor and the devil wouldn't bother me. Listen to this. Did you know that when somebody signs up to go into our military, we don't put a uniform on them, send them over to Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or to go fight somewhere across this world, and because we've put a suit of armor on them, they show up and say, okay, y'all, you go back to your homes, we won. That is the average concept of the average Christian of the armor of God. They think you put the armor on and the devil's just going to run and hide. I hate to tell you something. Listen to this statement. When you put the armor on, you're probably going to draw a more fierce attack. The attack will get more fierce because the enemy now knows who you are and he must fight harder to get through the armor that you have on to defeat you. You see, you don't send a soldier into battle and say, okay, you got your body armor on, you got your uniform on, just stand there and all the enemies are going to run away. You say, who should do that? Everybody in Congress, we should send them over that way and let them try it, amen? Armor is given to protect you. By the way, it's given to protect you, not to keep you from getting killed, but so that you can defeat the enemy. Now, I'm going to make a statement. Armor does not keep you from injury, but it probably will keep you from dying. Armor does not keep you from battling, but it will protect you while you battle. Now, listen to this very carefully here. As a soldier, your job as a Christian is to take out the enemy. Can I tell you who the enemy is? It's the old stinking devil. It's sin. We are to be in a war, in a battle against the devil and against sin, and we're to be fighting it constantly. Our battle is not with another person. Our battle is against the evil forces of Satan himself. And just because you put on armor does not mean the battle stops. I watch young Christians. They come to church. They'll get saved. They get in church. They get baptized. They start growing. Their first battle comes and poof, they're gone. That's why this health and prosperity, wealthy gospel garbage that goes on in America today. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. They're idiots. Somebody that needs to put on armor, they're about to face some pretty bad attacks. Now, too many Christians feel that they can put on armor and walk in peace with no battle. Well, I'm going to put the armor of God on, Brother Gus, and I'm not going to have any battles. Yes, you are. I hate to tell you. Denominationalists spend weeks and months teaching on,
Well, we are going to talk about the helmet of salvation. What makes up the helmet of salvation? What makes up the breastplate? Why would it be there to cover the heart? And and they talk about their loins girt about with truth and their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And they'll spend weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks exegeting the scriptures. And they tell you what all these things mean, and yet they're not doing any battle. They tell you if you have all this, you'll be safe. You won't have to battle. You'll be so armored up that you'll be able to withstand. Wait a minute. The Bible says that's for a warrior, for a soldier. Now, putting on the armor does not give peace. It gives you the potential to win the battle and then have peace. Peace does not come without conflict. Peace is a result of conflict. Look what America did during the Jimmy Carter era. Let's get rid of all our nuclear armament. Let's bear down on our military and let's cut down and we'll have world peace. We'll show all the communists that we have good faith in them and we're going to get rid of all our weapons and they're going to tell us they're getting rid of all theirs and we're going to believe them. Y'all remember where we were at? Mickey Mouse couldn't even go in and get the hostages out of Iran. Ronald Reagan was voted in as president in November. In December, he made a call as the president-elect to the people holding the hostages and said, on January 21st, it's 21st, right, brother? Okay. January 21st, at 12 noon, I get sworn in. My official first act is going to be to declare war on you at 12:05 if those prisoners are not released. If you remember, January 21st, 1980, just before noon, during the ceremony, somebody from the Secret Service whispered into the vice president and the vice president to the president, former president, Jimmy Carter, and leaned over and he said, just so you know, America, the hostages have been released. You say, why? Because Ronald Reagan had already told him he's going to go in there and whoop them up. He's going to mop the floor with them. It wasn't this mamby-pamby, we'll get rid of our guns if you get rid of yours. That's not how you have peace. Teddy Roosevelt said, walk softly and carry a big stick. Him with the biggest stick and can swing it and thump the most people is going to be the boss. Amen? That's how it works. Now, let me show you about this shield of faith and why it's important. Now, I just untaught you a lot about the armor of God. But we're not going to go into all the different components, and that's not the study for the night. But I want to show you about this shield of faith. Remember, just because you put armor on doesn't mean you're not going to get hurt. A police officer wears a flak jacket. Say why? He has a potential of being shot at. If he gets shot, guess what? That jacket's going to stop a bullet. Now, I've been around enough police officers and military folks. If you've ever been shot at with a flak jacket on, you're going to have bruises. You could even have some broken ribs. You're going to feel it for several days or weeks, but at least you're going home. If you didn't have it on, you're going home, but it's going to be in a box. You're probably not going to make it. Now, I don't know about you. I'd rather have the flak jacket on than not. We were in L.A. I had won the chief of detectives to the Compton Police Department to the Lord, Danny Sneed. My wife will remember Danny and his wife. I baptized him. Danny was about this tall. He was my height. He was 5'8". He weighed 200 pounds and had a 28-inch waist. He was built like two Vs put together at the middle there. I mean, the guy was just a powerhouse. You say, what did you call him? Sir. Danny and I went out one night on the beat in Compton. Now, Compton is where the L.A. riots started with Rodney King. Okay? there's signs as you go in and out of the city of Compton. When the devil comes to America, he stops in Compton first. That's what the community puts out, okay? It's a rough place. It's not a friendly place. It's probably the roughest area I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've been around a lot of this country. I'd rather go to New York City 10 times than Compton once. I have no desire to go back to New York City. So that tells you how much less I want to go to Compton. We were out. He said, we got a call. He said, these guys are spray painting. They call them taggers out there. He said, they're tagging the walls out here. He said, when we jump out, just follow Brother Bush. I said, okay. We jumped out. I hadn't gotten three steps away from that police cruiser. And all of a sudden I heard coming back at us. Say, what did you do? I stopped in my tracks. I dove and I rolled and I got underneath that police car because I knew there was some protection there. Amen. He said, Brother Bush, where are you? I said, under the car. He said, good, stay there. I said, don't worry. I went and caught these guys, come back. He said, what'd you dive so fast for? I said, man, I ain't got nothing on but a spring jacket, man. I said, it doesn't stop bullets. He said, we better get you a flak jacket on. I said, please. He said, I got an extra one in the trunk. I said, now you tell me. Good night. I was glad I had it. Now, the shield of faith. What is it? Now, we know what the faith is. If you remember about, three or four weeks ago, we for many weeks studied what the faith was. It's a plan, a message, a book, a power, an institution, and methods. Remember that? It's all those things comprise the faith. It's that thing that is in Jude that said, earnestly contend for the faith. The faith. And it's all those things that comprise making up the ability to get people to heaven. And it's a plan, it's a message, it's a book, which is the Word of God, the power, the institution, and the methods. Now, these six things, God says, are your shield. He said, you're going to have to pick those up and use them for them to become a shield in your life. Did you know that your faith can be a shield? We have too many mamby-pamby Christians in America today. We got a president that's unwilling to call Islam what it really is. He wants to blame the Christians for being more vicious than the Muslims and the Islamists. Once you notice something, last week they had a summit at the White House. It was called an extremist summit. If you look it up, you can go to any website you want to and look it up, you'll find out that evangelicals, that's what they call us, are on the extremist list. The Islamists aren't. They consider us the extremists. Can I tell you something? We're not. They are. Now, I'm not against necessarily everything our president stands for. I can't think of one thing I'm for, but I'm for his position. Now, you have to understand something. We're going to have to take up the shield of faith. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to fight for the truth? Are you? We're going to find out. The day's coming. We're going to find out. You see, your shield, you have to have it all intact or it's not going to be in working order. Let's say a flak jacket, a bulletproof vest, had six components to it. Would you want to wear a flak jacket that only had two of the six on there? Let me ask you a question. What kind of shape is your shield in? Any missing parts opens you up to the weapons and the attack of the devil. So as you hold up a shield, if you're not standing for and using all six components of the faith, watch this, your shield is incomplete. Your shield has holes in it. It has missing components. I don't know about you. I'm not going to walk into a battle like that and only have a little bit of protection. If I'm going to walk into that thing, I want to make sure, Brother Brining, it's all in working order. I want all the parts there. You see, too many Christians want to hide in their armor and have half of their shield and expect to win a battle. Well, I believe in the Bible. I believe in the plan of salvation. I believe in I believe in the message of the vicarious birth, virgin birth, vicarious death, I mean, virgin birth. Jesus came, shed his blood, all that. I believe in all that. Okay, what about the method of soul winning? Well, let's not go there, preacher. Everybody doing all right? See, your faith is more than just what you believe. We go all the way back to the first study. Faith and belief are not the same thing. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. So it's not just what you believe. Did you know I can believe somebody that tells me a lie? But you can't believe a lie if you believe the Word of God? See, it's not what you believe. It's what you're using. And your shield is that which you use. That means as long as you're staying faithful to the institution of the church, that means if you're using God's methods to get out his message through his plan, with his book, with the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? Your shield is activated and it's given for a protection for you. Too many Christians are like the little child that plays hide and go seek. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They sit in the middle of the room. You can't see me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They'll cover their eyes, and because they can't see anything, and they'll say, well, because I can't see, everybody else can't see, so you can't see me. That's what the denominationalists have done to the armor of God. Well, this is what it is. You put it on, you wear it, you walk around, nobody's going to bother you. Right. Right. That police officer today, when he pulled me over about my brake light, stood beside my car, and the whole time he was doing this, making sure nobody was going to get too close while he was standing next to my truck. Say, why? He's a target. I understood that. I didn't try to take all of his attention. Say, why? I didn't want him getting hurt. You see, just because you can't see doesn't mean others aren't out there fighting. Now, I got to move on. So your faith is or are those six things. That is your shield of faith. And the using of those things are what allows you that ability to have that added protection. Number two, what is the shield used for? First thing it's used for, it's used as protection. That shield was not just a little round circle. In Bible days, the shield was about 3.5 feet long, and it covered from your chin all the way down below your knees. And you could use that, maneuver that, work with that, and it covered your face, covered your heart, covered your strength, your loins, covered all the important vitals of your body. Can I tell you something? Your faith is there to cover you and to protect you. The United States government has no business telling you that just because you're a Christian, you violate everybody else's rights. You know, Christians have the same rights as everybody else does. Those two Mormons that knocked on my door a couple weeks ago, I told them I appreciated them being out, though I disagree with what they're saying. Do you know I'll fight for their right to spread their bad, evil, wicked, filthy, vile doctrine as much as I will for us to go soul winning? Because if they lose their ability, we lose ours. Say, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to knock on more doors than they knock on. I'm going to tell more people the truth than they tell lies to. But I'll fight for their right to do it. Everybody understand that? I'm not yoking up with the Mormons, just so you know. But I'll fight for their right to propagate the way they do. Now, hang on here. Your faith is to be used as a protection. That means you're supposed to use your faith. I've said this before. This book's gotten me more opportunity than anybody knows. Good night, I can go sit down in an airport, open up my Bible, and I can get a seat anywhere I want. Say why? People see that book and they scatter. They're afraid of it. I'm not. They'll say, "You a Christian? What was your first clue?" Yep, I am. Sat down beside a Catholic priest. I didn't know he was a priest at the time. And he said, "You a Christian?" I said, "I am." And that was after he had already ordered two drinks on the airplane. I said, "Are you?" He said, I'm a priest. I said, "That's not what I asked you." I said, "Are you a Christian?" "Well, I'm a priest." I said, "Answer my question." Boy, it was a long trip for him. He didn't enjoy his third drink. Wait a minute. These six things, the faith, are going to keep you strong while under attack. Can I tell you something? When the devil attacks, don't run away from that book, run to it. When you're under attack, don't run away from the church, run to it. When you're under attack, don't stop soul winning, do it more. When the devil jumps on me, I jump right back on him. I really do. My wife will tell you, I hurt. I'm more compassionate than anybody really knows. I don't always show it, and I get this little burst of, okay, the devil just jumped on me. Give me just a second, catch my breath here, but I'm going to go back out and I'm going to attack. Say, what do? Do you attack the devil? No, I go out and start telling others about Jesus. I start going soul winning. I find somebody to help. I start doing what the faith is. And when I start doing what the faith is, I get the strength to take the battle that's been coming my way. That's how you get through it. So many Christians fizzle out. They fade away because, well, the devil jumped on me and my best friend's not in church anymore. And I don't think I'll go anymore. Well, let me give you a bottle and burp you too. Good grief. I'm sorry. I've lost a lot of friends out of church. I have watched thousands of people go to church and leave church and never come again. I think I could say I've watched tens of thousands do it. No doubt. It's nothing new, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? You can't strap on the shield and not use it. It has to be lifted on purpose. Did you know you're not going to put that shield on your arm and just let it fall here and everything's going to be all right? It's going to be work. You're going to have to lift that thing up. You're going to have to take some pretty hard shots with it. You're going to have to do battle with it for it to protect you. Did you know not all protection is worn? It has to be used. I played enough baseball. Do you know you can wear some protection while you're playing baseball, but if you don't use the glove, that's your shield. Now, when you pitch like I did, you're only 60 feet, 6 inches away from the guy hitting the ball. And you're zinging a ball in at 80 miles an hour, and you got another kid across the way from you, another man across the way from you, and he's going to swing a bat, try to hit that ball, and drill it right down your stinking throat. You don't know how many times, and a pitcher is at his worst ability to field as soon as he releases the ball. He's already thrown the ball. He's coming down like this. His weight is going forward. Guess what? By the time his other foot lands, that bat's coming around. Brother Brining, I've caught more shots as a pitcher, just like this. It wasn't because I was good. I was trying to protect myself. Man, you have never had a ball traveling 120, 100, 115, 120 mile an hour come right at your head. It's either catch it or eat it. That's what we used to call it, catch it or eat it. And I watched a few people eat it and decided it didn't taste very good, and it didn't go down real well either. I decided I was going to try to catch them all. That glove became a shield, and I had to try to protect myself. That's exactly what God's talking about here. You have to put it on, but you're going to have to use it. You might even strap it in a little bit so that it doesn't swivel around as much, but you're going to have to pick it up and use it on purpose. Listen to this statement. I love this statement. The shield does not stop the attack. It can only deflect the attack. We think if we have this shield that we'll have no attack. Look at me. The shield does not stop the attack. The shield will deflect. It'll defer the attack. It'll bounce it to another direction, move it around you, and then you got to keep on going. Having or using the shield does not mean the bullet stops. Do you know if you carried a bulletproof shield and somebody shot at you, it's not going to stop the bullet, but it's going to cause it to go to one side or the other. It'll ricochet it. It'll keep it from hitting you. Now, listen to this statement. Having the shield keeps you from being mortally wounded, but it doesn't mean you're not going to get hurt. Good night. I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, Brother Joe. Do you remember as kids you used to play war? You'd pick up sticks. You'd find an old pan you'd use for a shield or something. You'd find an old piece of tin or something, and you'd carry it, and you go on to battle, and you got a wood sword, and you're beating each other, and you're getting pounded on. Man, I've been pounded on so many times. And you're hoping to God that little plastic sled that you got in your hand or whatever, you know, the old little round disc sleds, and you put your arm through that thing, oh, yeah, it's going to protect me. And somebody's got a 3-foot-long stick, and they're going, bah! And you're thinking, oh, that hurt real bad. But it would have hurt worse had you not had that. That's exactly what a shield does for you. Now, listen to this statement. I want to try to illustrate something for you. Then I have one more point and I'm done. Shields can be pulled together in tight formation and make a wall. Do you know that if you got 15 or 20 guys together in a line, you've seen this a lot when you have riot control, that type of thing, and the officers will pull tight rank, and there'll be shield overlapping shield all the way across. You say, what is that? They make almost like a movable wall in front of them. And everybody can't get in between them. In some situations, you'll also have another line of fellows that will walk between them, and they'll take their shields and put them up above them, and you can cover their heads as well as cover in front of them. The guys on the ends will cover this way, and you'll have another, and you can have almost an impenetrable wall on all four sides. Say, what is that? That's for protection. But that wall, they can just start moving, start marching, start pushing them back. Doesn't matter what they fling at them, they're protected. They're going to keep on going. Can I tell you something? It's going to take the soldiers of God to pull together, march against the devil, and start pushing him back. It'll protect you from the front. You're going to have to rely on other soldiers. And you still might get a little hurt, but you're not going to die. Just keep on marching. Just keep on marching. Now, number three, and I'll hurry and finish. So the shield is for protection. And then next, the shield can be used as an offensive weapon. Too many times we only see the shield as defensive. I've been around and I've studied and been around enough law enforcement to realize a shield can also be used as an offensive weapon. You see, as you're in doing close-up battle, you can get close enough to somebody and just start backing them up with it. You can actually push them with your shield and just start walking and push them backwards. You get them on their heels and just start going, almost like a big ramrod. And whatever they've got that they're pushing in your face, it's not getting there because you got your shield in front of you. Your faith is there not just as an offensive weapon, defensive weapon, but it's there as an offensive weapon. My Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That means the church needs to use the faith, start marching forward, and attack hell. Gates don't move. Gates don't march. Soldiers march. A shield is portable enough to be taken and used not just to deflect the oncoming things, but also to push the enemy back. It is the job of the church to pull together, start marching forward, and attacking the devil. See, this wall of shield can march forward and push the enemy back. By the way, there's only one other offensive weapon in the armor. My Bible says it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Did you know that the faith and the Word of God always work together? It always works together. And I hate to tell you something, that book's going to offend a lot of people. And I don't want a faulty sword. I don't want a sword that's going to break down in battle. That's what all these perversions of the Bible are. That's what all these other cute little programs are. Well, we'll build our church with our social programs. Yeah, you're building a church on the soul, not on the spirit. And when the attack comes, they're going to scatter like rats. You need to build a church, and you need to build your life. You need to build your family on the faith. And that shield is there to protect your family. It's there to protect you. And it's there to be used not just as defensive, but as offensive. See, these six things are offensive weapons. Lifestyle evangelism. Amen, Brother Gus. You just live in such a way as a Christian, and people will just flock to you and say, "What must I do to be saved?" That's what lifestyle evangelism is. That you live the Christian life so much that people want what you have, that they come ask you for it, and you can lead them to the Lord that way. Well, I hate to tell you, it doesn't work. That is called making the shield of faith only defensive and not offensive. You say, what is offensive shield of faith? Soul winning. Knocking on doors. Telling others about him. Everywhere you go, telling somebody about Jesus Christ. That's called an offensive weapon. See, they don't like saying that. They want to take their surveys. Let's go take surveys in the neighborhoods and we'll sort through all of the information and find out which ones we should go back to that will be the most responsive. And we'll have a higher percentage of people get saved with the amount of visits that we make. Puke. Who are you to play God? It's not my job to win them anyway. It's my job to tell them. It's their job to receive it. Brother Taylor, your neighbors that you've been talking to, you've got one that's dying. Lost and on his way to hell. Probably will die and go to hell. He'd been given the gospel many, many, many times. If he passes and goes to hell, it's not Brother Taylor's fault or others that have witnessed to him. It's his fault. Nobody else's. It's our job to give the gospel. God gives the increase. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. let me close this thing down. I've got about 5 or 6 minutes and I'll get you out on time or before. I'm going to give you 6 concluding thoughts, kind of pull it all together. The shield and armor does not prevent you from having battles. The shield and the armor does not prevent you from having a battle. The shield does not stop nor prevent the attack. It helps to deflect it. The shield can protect. The shield many shields together can pull ranks together and build a wall. The shield can be used for offensive push to push the enemy back. And the six things of the faith are the shield that need to be used, not just worn. We talk about earnestly contend for the faith. That faith is to be fought for with the faith, with the shield of faith. Do you know I won't attack any person? I'll attack somebody's bad doctrine. Oh, who's the big TV preacher right now out of Texas? What's his name? Yeah, Olsteen. I've never met the man. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm not sure if I ever saw him that I would even know who he is. You know, I'll attack his filthy doctrine. I'll attack his works salvation. I'll attack his purpose-driven church mess. Everybody doing all right? But if he walked through the door right now, I'd be a kind gentleman to him. I'd shake his hand. I'd greet him. I wouldn't be unkind to him. I'd tell him he's wrong for what he's preaching. He's not preaching out of the right book, so no wonder he's preaching the wrong things. Doesn't use the same Bible. No wonder he's preaching bad doctrine. You can't preach right doctrine from a wrong book. It's impossible. Now, listen to me very carefully. But I don't think he's a bad person. I'm not going to fight him. I'll fight his evil doctrine. I'll reference Mr. Schofield in his Schofield Reference Bible. Mr. Schofield was wrong in a lot of doctrine. But if Mr. Schofield were alive today, I wouldn't be unkind to him. I'm just unkind towards his doctrine that he promotes. Everybody understand that? I don't think my enemies are bad people. Just because they don't agree with me doesn't mean that we ought to kill them. Oh, that's Islamist. Did you know that many of my enemies are good people? Yeah. Okay, they don't agree with me. That's fine. They have that right to be wrong. That's a joke. Laugh. It's okay. Just because they don't like me doesn't mean they're bad people. Too many of us take attacks too personally. Do you know that if you go to war, you'll fight people you don't even know? And most of the time, you won't even know why you're fighting them other than you're told to. Why would you take somebody that you do know that you disagree with and fight them worse than somebody that you don't know? I don't agree with everybody in my wife and I's family. You know what? I'm there to help them. I don't agree with all of them. I don't. But you know what? I don't have to agree with them to love them. I get along with them. I really do. Guess who they call when they're in trouble? 1-800-CRAIG. Amen? I love it. Just in the last couple weeks, somebody on my wife's side of the family went through a big struggle. Good night. I got 4 phone calls on that thing before I ever got to deal with it. It was great. It was great. And I believe God used me to be able to help them. You say, why? Because I didn't look at him and say, you're a bunch of perverts, bunch of wicked, filthy, vile sinners. No, loved on them. They come by the house. No, you can't smoke in my house. You have to go outside. Go down the street. Do something, but not in my house. Other than that, you're fine. Every once in a while, they'll say a word they shouldn't say, and they'll go, sorry. Why don't you tell God that? Quit that. It's okay. I'm not mad at him. You say, you mean you allow? I didn't say I allowed it. But I don't throw such a big fit over it that they don't want to come back to my house. Can I tell you something? We're fighting the battle the wrong way. Let's fight for the faith. Let's fight with the faith. By the way, I've won a bunch of them to the Lord. Now, it didn't happen the first time I met him. It wasn't, I showed up and say, well, super Christians here, let me talk to you and you need to get saved. Puke. They'll laugh you right out of Dodge. And I've watched them do it. One of my wife's relatives, we still don't know who the guy was. Older guy. I had driven for 24 hours to get there. I think it was your grandfather's funeral, somebody's funeral we went to up there. I don't remember. I no sooner got out of the car. I hadn't slept in a day and a half. He said, "You Baptist?" I said, "Yeah, why you say that?" He said, "You smell like one." I thought, wait a minute. I've been told I look like one, act like one, sound like one. I said, "What does a Baptist smell like?" He said, "Like you." Turned around, walked away from me. I thought, well, okay. Been told a lot. First time I ever told I smelled like a Baptist. I thought, how can you tell what church somebody goes to by how they smell? I don't know, but oh well. Oh, we had people saved. I got to lead a couple of her nephews to the Lord and others on that trip. I didn't let that bother me. I didn't throw a big fit over it. I've laughed about it for a lot of years. Folks, the shield of faith. Listen to this statement. It doesn't stop the attack. Having the armor of God, putting it on, doesn't mean you have no attack. And by the way, it doesn't mean that you're not even going to get hurt. You could get wounded. You're going to get bumps and bruises, but it's better than getting a sword stuck through your gizzard, amen? I'll take a bump and a bruise over a sword through my gizzard any day. I'll take a bump or a bruise or even a broken arm over no arm at all. Any day. It's not there just because you put it on and everybody runs and hides. You know, it's not like you pulled your clothes off and you got your Superman underwear on going, here I am, everybody going to run away. It doesn't work that way. I probably shouldn't have said that, huh? I'm probably going to pay for that one when I get home. That's okay, Brother Ron. I didn't talk about your underdog ones, under puppy. Anyway, let's face it, folks. Most of us think if we put all these things on, we're not going to have any battle. The purpose of it is to battle. And we must fight, and let's use the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you are going to battle and you don't have all of your shield together. You only got part of the components there. And I hate to tell you something, you're going to get wounded worse and maybe even die because you're not using all of the shield. You've got to pick it up on purpose and use it.